So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Daniel Latto. So in this podcast, we're going to talk to you about almost everything I learned about life came from sport. So what do I mean by that? So obviously not everything. You know, I had to go to school to learn to read and write and talk proper, like what I do now. So not everything, but a lot of the big stuff. A lot about the stuff about being successful, about never giving up, about always striving to be the best, all of that kind of thing. And I think that's translated really well into real world applications in being an entrepreneur. So let's just take number one, for example, never give up. Like, I've not only partaked in basketball games where we've won at the very last second. I've watched a lot on TV. Like, everybody who's watched sports has watched miraculous comebacks, you know, 27 points down, win by 15. I've seen a guy hit 13 points in like 7 seconds. You know, three-pointers. I can't remember what it was. But we've seen last-second shots. You know, everything rides on this one shot, and you hit the last-second shot. I myself have hit half-court shots, a half-court shot to win a game. Imagine that. Imagine the feeling that you get from that. We've also had a game where I was coach of a very young basketball team. It was just basically kids. I was like 18, 19 at the time, and it was my team. It was based in Leeds. And these kids were like 14 to 16, a couple around my age as well. And we were playing the best team in the league. And it was just crappy Leeds league. So it's nothing, you know, it's not professional or anything, but these were the best team in the league, much taller than us, much older, much more experienced. And we were like 10 points down with, I don't know, 4 minutes to go. And suddenly we hit them with a full court press. I was guarding their best player, a guy who just hit 3-pointers from anywhere, a very good basketball player. Although he was in his early 50s, believe it or not, at the time. And so I was holding on to him illegally. But we hit them with a full court press. They couldn't cope with the pressure. They turned the ball over, and we won that game by 3 points. And they were just in shock. They just didn't know what happened to them. And we turned it around from being the, you know, the worst team in the league, where we'd lost 10 straight. And after that game, we won our next 10 straight games. And obviously it gave us a little bit of confidence. But that concept of never, ever, ever giving up. Like, the second area that I learned a lot about life was from Star Trek, believe it or not. And in Star Trek, there's what's called the Kobayashi Maru. The Kobayashi Maru basically means that Captain Kirk doesn't believe in a no-win situation. And I also don't believe in a no-win situation. And having that thought process of never giving up, not believing, I just simply don't believe in a no-win solution. It's because, you know, from that film, from the Star Trek film with the Kobayashi Maru, and that whole concept came through, Kobayashi Maru, it's just stuck with me. I never believe in a no-win situation. There's always something that you can do. And I've had it where we've literally been against the wall. We need to find $2,000. It's Friday. We're going to miss all our mortgage payments. If we don't find $2,000, bang, $2,000 comes in. It's Friday. It's 12 o'clock. We've got 2 hours. Money hits the account. It's amazing. But when you strive to just... Let me rephrase that. Not when you strive, but when you change your belief system into not having a situation where you can lose. Like, I just don't believe it. Like, do we lose from time to time? Of course we do. But in a bigger picture, well, we've not lost yet. And actually, we're winning the game. We're now in, you know, depends on how you break up your life. But from 20 to, call it 80 because it's easier. You know, you've got 4 quarters. So the first quarter's from 20 to 40. Second quarter's, from 20 to 35, 35 to, I can't do this, I can't do the maths, but it depends which quarter you're in. So let's just say out of 100 years, you've got 4 quarters, 25 years each, that's easier, or 20 years each, let's do that one. So Q1 is 0 to 20, Q2 is 20 to 40, Q3 is 40 to 60. My maths is dreadful this morning. And Q4 in life is 60 to 80. So, like, I'm halfway through the third quarter and we're up right now. But, boy, before the third quarter started, we were down. And midway through the second quarter, we were really losing a lot in life, you know? But this idea of, okay, I understand where we are. let's get logical about it and take some of the emotion out. What are some of the things that we need to do so that we actually turn this trip around on this rock earth and turn it around so that we actually end up being successful? And that's exactly what we did. And so it all comes from basketball. It all came from sport. Basketball was my sport. Everything I learned come from sport. Never give up. Why give up? There's always an opportunity to win something at the last minute shot, last minute second. I've come down and we're, you know, 4 or 5 points down. I've come down, hit 2 3-pointers in quick succession, won the game. Thank you very much. Next. The no-win solution can exist if that's what your belief system is. You know, obviously, you know, if you're in a scrap and there's you against three big guys, you're going to lose that. Okay? So talking your way out of that one. Have I been in situations where I've talked my way out of it? Yes, I didn't really learn that from basketball, but yes, I've talked my way out of those type of situations as well. Is that a win? I would say so. You're in a no-win situation there. And so you resort to the only thing that you can do to escape that situation. That's a pretty good situation. So it doesn't necessarily mean always overcoming the obstacle. Sometimes it means avoiding the obstacle altogether. Okay, never back down is number two. So what does this mean? So, you know, I've had guys come up to me on a basketball court and they're just talking crap, you know, they're talking smack. We had one guy once, he came up and he was like, oh, you were born in a test tube. And I'm like, you thick wanker. Yeah, I think you mean conceived in a test tube, don't you? So, and he just didn't know what to put to that. Do you know what I mean? He'd never been confronted by it. you never back down from people. If someone gives you a challenge, like, I'm not saying that you have to approach every challenge and just because someone's pushed you into it. It's like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future, where he's challenged to run the race. And when he does run the race in his truck, that's what causes his accident and his limp in the second films. So, and then, you know, in the next scene, he doesn't actually do it. And so now he's not limping. You don't have to show up for everything and back down and not back down for everything that you're confronted with, especially some of the stupid stuff. But, in, you know, you walk on court and some guy comes up to you and starts talking shit. Why would you back down from that? I don't want to back down from that. I don't care how tall he is, how good he is. I've had guys defend me. Like, I was a good player, by the way, okay? So, you know, I was, like, scoring 30, 40 points a game. So, good player. And I had guys coming to guard me, 6'6", coming to guard me. I'm 5'7", 6'6", and I'd look at him and I'd go, well, you're a lanky piece of shit, aren't you? Like, really confront them back. They'd talk shit to me and we'd talk shit back. And so we would never, ever back down. Why back down? If someone says, oh, you're crap, you don't know what you're doing, go show them, go prove to them. This is only going to improve your game. Now, if you end up trying to show them and fail, trust me on this, you will only fail that once. Because then you go straight back to the gym and you work out and you get better and you improve. And this is why I went from scoring, you know, a couple of points a game, a couple of minutes a game, to scoring, you know, my average was 33 points a game. And that was the average that I always wanted around the age of 18. That's what I thought was a good average for point scoring. And that's what I hit. But by not backing down, you know, sometimes we play against players who were professional basketball players. You know, played in the National Basketball League. I remember one guy, 6'2", Jamie Swain, I think he's called. And he played for a team in Huddersfield, which is where he's from. And he was backing me down, posting me up. I remember playing that game, absolutely kicking his ass. On defense as well, kicking his ass. He tried to post me up and we did a move where what's called, where you pull the chair, where they basically sit on your knee and you pull your knee away and then fall down. And he tried to sit on my knee. I moved my knee away and he fell down just as the ball came in, stole the ball, went down, scored. You know, he was guarding me, hitting 3-point shots, did a hook shot for crying out loud and got fouled. And even the other team were cheering. So never back down, even though the other person might be better than you in some way. Why would you back down from that? Go and confront it. And then this leads me on to number three, compete against the best to improve. Like, whatever industry you're in, like when going up against Jamie Swain, for example, he was a far better player. He was bigger than I was. He was a great 3-point shooter. Hated the guy because he was better. And he physically was bigger as well. And that's one of the frustrating things when you're 5'7" and, you know, small like me, is other people are gifted with height. And I didn't have that as an advantage. So I had to find different ways of doing it. But compete against the best in your industry. go up against them, interview them, ask them. You know, when Kobe Bryant went on the basketball court and against Michael Jordan first couple of times, you know, it was like a duel, one against the other. That's how the media always portrayed it. But Kobe Bryant would go up and talk to Jordan in between free throws and so on, because he wanted to find out how how Michael Jordan worked. He would not interview them with a sit-down interview like a podcast. He would be asking him on court, how did you do that? Why did you do that? I saw that move that you did. Why do you move that leg first and not this one? And Jordan would tell him. So he would compete against the best, and then he would ask the best, how did you do this? And by the way, when you start competing against the best, do you think your game rises? It absolutely does. And we've had games where we've then played against teams that were much worse than us, and they've kicked our ass. And the reason why they've kicked our ass is because we were like, oh, we can take these, easy win. And for whatever reason, the effort wasn't there, or our focus wasn't there, we missed easy shots, and then we're on the back foot, they're now winning, and it's hard to come back from a loss. So when you compete against better teams, like that other team we mentioned at the start, and we beat them, it's because we had to step up a level. And if all you're doing is competing against people who are worse than you or on the same level of you as you, you never, ever, ever have to compete. And it's definitely something I've done in my career, in my career, so to speak, in my business career, is that I shied away from people who know more or have more expertise or experience than I do. And when I look back at that, that's crazy. Why would I not go on that training course? Why would I not learn from those people? It's crazy. It's just an ego thing. And I never used to do that with basketball. So I would go up and I would, you know, compete against the best. The best guy walks on court and I'm like, that's my guy right there. That's who I'm going to guard. Danny's 6'2". You're only 5'7". That's fine. When a big guy came on and we're all the same height and their 6'4" centre comes on, that's the guy I'm off to guard. Give me the biggest motherfucker and I'll sort him out. So we would always compete against the best. And that could be someone who's taller than you, someone who's physically stronger than you. It could be someone who's a professional basketball player in this context. It could be someone who's got more experience. That is the way that you're going to learn. Did we get our asses kicked? Did we get our asses handed to us from time to time? Of course we did. But boy, did we learn from that. And I tell you, we went from playing, you know, little crappy local league to playing national league for a couple of games. And we kept playing against people who were better than us. And it's the same in business. Don't shy away from people who are better than you or doing better than you. Hang out with them, for crying out loud. Find out what makes them tick. Find out what makes them work so hard to be the best. Find out what's the mental acuities that those people have. Okay, number four, always confront. I had a guy come up once, we were playing a game, and I was talking trash to someone, and this other guy comes on, and he says, well, you're a bit full of yourself, aren't you? And I'm like, and I just analysed that comment for a few seconds, because I was like, you're a bit full of yourself, aren't you? Well, you think you're good, don't you? I'm like, how do I respond to that? I mean, the obvious answer is, well, yeah. Because if I don't think I'm good on a basketball court, guess who's not good on a basketball court? Me. You have to be good. You have to think you're good. You have to have self-confidence. So I can't remember what I said. It was something like, why, do you not think I am? And he said something like, no, I think you're an idiot or you're a dickhead or whatever. And then my response was, I can't remember word for word, it was years ago. And my response was, well, let's see then. And now that is me confronting, and that is me stepping into the challenge. And so he steps up and he guards me. And he fails, because I kick his ass. And then at the end of the game, you know, it's something like, oh, it turns out I was quite good. Yeah, cocky, but anyway, some people deserve it. So we had another game. And it was one team and a much better team than us. And one guy was just talking crap all through the game, all through the first half, talking crap. To me personally, I'd never met the guy. He was a bit taller than I was. He was a good player, but he was just talking so much shit. And I just said, okay, just wait till we get to the second half, because the second half I'll switch it on and we'll see, won't we? And he's like, yeah, you're crap, you're short, all that stuff. Do you know what I mean? We're used to it. Oh, wow, it hurts so much. So second half comes, a jump ball from the middle, ball comes to me, run down to the three-point line, jack a three, swishes it. I looked at him, I went, told you, don't let me get hot. And he's like, yeah, whatever, that was luck, so on. They come down, miss, I get the ball again, stop at three-point line, hit a three. Proceeded to hit, I think, 5 or 6 three-pointers all in a row. And I'm looking at this guy and going, yeah. So he started talking shit for the first couple, or look again, you just got lucky. And then after like the 5th or 6th, he actually swapped and started defending somebody else. We finished the game, we win the game by 8, 10 points, whatever that game was. I ended up scoring like 25 points in the in the second half. I looked down at the bench and he sat on the bench and the towel's in his face and he's crying. And I'm like, always confront. This is one of the lessons that I learned. He was bigger than me. He was physically more intimidating than I was, more muscular, just a better physical specimen in terms of athletic ability. Okay, whereas I'm a goofy little white boy. Oh my gosh, that sounds so racist in 2019, but it's true, right? I look like, you know, in the cable guy where Jim Carrey and he goes plays basketball. That's how I looked. So that's exactly how we looked. So, you know, I could understand someone coming and talking shit to me looking like that. Do you know what I mean? Because I just look weak. And then when they lose. Anyway, so the lesson that I learned from that was always, always confront. When someone has a go at you, have a go back. What are you backing down for? Like, confront these guys. For the only reason they come out bullying is because they've got either no confidence or no self-worth. So attack them. Attack them right back at it. Why back down? So we had another guy. He was like 18. He was a student. And he was just talking shit. And I was like, what can I use on this guy? So I just called him a virgin. Boy, that was a lucky guess. He shut up immediately. If you're a virgin at 50 or a virgin at 16, what's the legal age? I don't care, it's got nothing to do with me. But he was just talking shit, and I was like, why don't you shut the fuck up, you virgin, before I tell all your mates that you've never been laid. But he never said another word. That was a lucky guess. Why, you know, these, by the way, you can't go into business like this. Just so you know. These are my experiences on a basketball court, but when someone confronts you, well, you know, you haven't got all this property, I don't believe you. Oh, really? You've not seen all my houses? You know, we post about them every so often. Not a lot, but, you know, about the rentals, moving in, moving out. About the management that we do and so on. So always confront. Never back down from someone. Just because they've got issues with you, why should you back down? Okay, what were we on? 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 5, then. Whatever shape or style you have, discover your advantage. So look, I'm 5'7", and I'm talking about other people being physically better specimens. By that I mean more strength, more muscle, more height. Okay, now I can't do anything about the height. I can always do something about the strength, and I never did because I was out with the lads on Friday and Saturday night drinking, which was really not conducive to being a great basketball player. But at 5'7", very small, very quick, very slim and wiry. I was always wiry, low body fat percentage. I was really quick. So my advantage there was being very quick, so great ball handler, able to dribble, you know, as people say, oh, dribble through people's legs. Very funny, never heard that before. But yes, that's what we did. So that, and then I always heard the line, be a great shooter. No one will ever keep a great shooter on the bench. And that's what I became. I became a great shooter. So an ability to shoot the three-point shot. I hit 13 threes in one game once, 48 points in that game. In 3 quarters, I sat down for the 4th quarter, absolutely pulverized the other team. We played them again a couple of months later, and they put 2 guys on me. I scored like 4 points. I was just on that game, and it was just the best game ever. Do you know what I mean? But what I discovered was whatever shape you are, whatever style you have, you've got an advantage. So if you're 6'10" and 30 stone, you've definitely got an advantage on a basketball court. If you're 5'10" and 30 stone, you've definitely got an advantage on a basketball court. If you're 5'10" and 8 stone, you've definitely got an advantage on a basketball court. If you're 7'2" and 15 stone, you've definitely got an advantage. Whatever physique you have, there is an advantage. And whatever style you have, and I'm not just talking about basketball here. Like, if you've got... we interviewed Francis Dolly, and Francis Dolly's got... what do they call it? Where it's like a very slight speech impediment, it's like a tick, where he can't get his words out properly. Well, Francis has done amazingly well. Got a huge amount of respect for Francis Dolly. He's done so well in his is it Rent to Rent business that he runs? He does incredibly well. We interviewed him on one of the earlier podcasts, that long ago, 3 years ago, I've completely forgotten which one it was. But his speech impediment, is that an advantage? Why can't it be? Why not? This guy goes and stands up in front of audiences and is a public speaker and a very good one at that. Why not use that as an advantage? It doesn't matter what you've got going on in your life. Well, you know, I was born, 5 kids, none of us had any money. That's your advantage right there, because you've turned it from having nothing to having something. Whatever your advantage is. Oh, well, I've lost everything in my life and I've never been successful at anything. Awesome advantage. What a story to tell people. Now you've got an opportunity to turn it round and that becomes your story. Why would you not use that as an advantage? Whatever shape or style you have, then you've got an advantage over all those other people that haven't got that. Look at, is it Peter Dunklage, the guy that has, I guess you would call it dwarfism, is that what it's called? Try not to be politically incorrect here. But he was in, well, he was in pretty much every film, wasn't he? Where you need a very short person. But he was in Game of Thrones, he was in Thor Ragnarok, was it? I think, one of the four films. He's in loads of different stuff. But Peter Dunklage, he's got a very good video where he's giving a commencement speech for graduates. And he's talking about success, about never giving up. And this guy, you know, he worked in a call centre for like 18 months. And then a call came through and he's an actor. Like, being a particular low height, it can be a real severe disadvantage. And a lot of people will treat it like that. Not Peter. His advantage is his height. He was in Elf, if you remember. So, you know, he used that as an advantage. Whatever you've got going on in life can be your advantage. Now, you can see it one of two ways. You can go, no, that's not an advantage. How is that an advantage? You don't understand how hard it is having this, whatever this is. Well, we've all got something going on. Crap lives, crap upbringing, kids abducted, whatever that happens to be for you. An impediment physically of some kind. There's always two ways of dealing with this. I know people who've got impediments of some kind and are very successful. So if they can do it, why can't you? So whatever shape or style you have, you've just got to discover what your advantage is and use it. Don't be afraid to use it. For me, I was very fast on court. They'd double team me. I just dribble around them. Couldn't get the ball off me. They'd then foul me. You know, if we were ahead by 5 points, they'd foul me, put me on the foul line to shoot some free throws. I'd hit those free throws. But trying on the 3-point line, I'd go up for a 3-point shot. They'd run at me. I'd up fake, step to the side, shoot another shot instead, hit that. Couldn't stop me. Whatever advantage you've got, just because you're short doesn't mean that you've got a lack of advantage. Muggsy Bogues is 5'3". He's an NBA player. Isaiah Thomas is, I think, 5'7 or 5'10. I think he's 5'7. He's a great player. When he played for Boston Celtics, he was like 25 points a game. He's tiny. He would drive into the lane amongst these 7-foot trees and score. And they couldn't stop him. They'd end up fouling him all the time. And whatever height you are, whatever physical shape you are, whatever ability or disability you've got, there's an advantage somewhere. You've just got to find it and use it. Okay, next one, I guess, I was going to say it's really a basketball one, but it's not, because it can definitely translate. So the next one, don't be intimidated by bigger people. So, and what I mean by, you know, bigger people, obviously on a basketball court, 6'7", 7 foot, that kind of thing. I once played against a guy in Hull, 7'2". That was interesting. I've never met anyone quite as tall as that, 7'2". Definitely an advantage, you know, shot blocking, getting rebounds and that kind of thing. But why be intimidated because someone's either bigger physically or bigger in terms of their success? Why be intimidated? You meet Richard Branson. Why be intimidated because he's a bigger person? Like he's, you know, he's had more success financially or whatever. Don't be intimidated by bigger people. I remember once a guy, he's about 6'7", and he went to trip me up on a basketball court, and he did. He tripped me up, referee called a foul, and I chased this guy. I'm 5'7", chasing this 6'7" guy down the court. He shit himself. Because I'm like, right, motherfucker, I'm going to smack you in the balls. I chased after him. And he ran. Like, think about that. Like, if you could imagine that, it's a very funny situation to look at. With little Dan running after this big guy. And I, you know, why be intimidated just because physically they're taller? So don't be intimidated by anyone. Maybe it's a basketball thing. I walk into a group of tall guys. By the way, on a night out, when you go for a night out and all your friends are 6'6" and you're 5'7", they're all having a conversation. You know, sometimes you might get yourself into a bit of a situation where someone else is trying to have a go and you just step up. I remember having an argument with a very tall guy in a nightclub and he just backed down. I mean, I'm not saying that you go out and you know, purposely look for fights, but don't be intimidated by anybody, either on a basketball court or in real life. Screw them. Obviously, don't get yourself into a situation where, that you're going to regret. But in business, just because there's a bigger company that's got 100,000 followers on Facebook and you've got 100, so what? People don't want to sign up with people who've got 100,000 followers. They want to sign up with someone who's got 100 followers because it depends on the product. But if it's coaching, they know they're going to get better one-on-one coaching. They're going to get more personal contact. Whereas the guy with 100,000, everybody knows that's just a conveyor belt. Everybody strives for 100,000 because they think it looks better. And I guess it does to some extent. But everybody knows that's just a conveyor belt. Think about some of the larger property training companies. Hello, Conveyor Belt City. They even give out wrong information. You know, they talk about property sourcing and they don't talk about the legalities of it, saying about compliancy. Oh, no, you don't have to do anything. There's no compliance. It's crazy. And people are paying £2,000, £3,000, £5,000 just for a conveyor belt to go sit in a room with 35 other people all learning the same stuff. That is crazy. And that's just last week's event. There's another one next week and another one next week and another one next week. Just a complete and utter conveyor belt. So why worry about that? You be you and you go out and do the things that you need to go out and do. Like a lot of what we've talked about in today's session can be perceived as being a bit aggressive, chasing after big guys. But the example that I'm trying to, you know, this is over a 25-year span of playing basketball. I started playing when I was 14, I'm 27, so it's 23 years. So, and there's a lot of experience in that. So it's not every game I was, you know, talking shit to people. Well, actually, that's probably not true. I probably did talk a lot of crap to people. But, you know, the chasing after the big guy, that only ever happened once. But all this stuff, when you add it up, so never give up, never back down, compete against the best to improve. Always confront. Whatever shape or style you have, discover your advantage. Don't be intimidated by bigger people. All of this is about never backing down. It's about being the best that you can be and about when someone confronts you, confront them back. The best way to confront someone, by the way, is when someone's giving you crap, is you say, why would you say that? Now you've put the onus back on them. I love those words, by the way. Dan, you're a wanker. Why would you say that? Well, I just think you are. Yeah, but why would you say that specifically? Well, I just think you are. I just don't think you're very nice. That's fine. Why would you say that? So it's your opinion. It's not based on anything. You just don't think I'm very nice. Got it. Perfect. As long as I know. Thank you for that. Just, why would you say that? It's a great line to turn people around. Oh, you think you're really good, do you? Why would you say that? Well, you're a bit mouthy. Right, okay, but your guy was mouthy to me first, so am I supposed to just stand there and not say anything and let him spout off? Well. So, all of these things add up to you, and it depends on your mental state as well. So, when I'm in these situations, I'm like, I'm going to beat this guy, one way or another. And it can be on a basketball court, or it can be in business. I see other people, and they're running adverts, and I'm like, bastards. I should be running adverts for this. And they're not even very good at what they do. Because it's just a conveyor belt, you know? You're just a number going through. I should be running adverts because my course is better than them. My coaching's better than them. I've got more experience. I actually do the stuff instead of just teaching it like a lot of people do. You know, some of the bigger ones, for example. So all of this is designed to get you to compete. All this is about competing at the highest level that you can be. And not everybody wants to do that. So if you don't want to do that, I totally get it. If you just want to fit in, that's totally fine. If you don't want to put your head above the parapet in case it gets shut off, I get that too, because that will definitely happen. You know, we have people who have no idea who we are talking crap about us, and that's totally fine. That's just the life, you know, it's just the world in which we live. And if you're not out there putting yourself out there, you won't get that. And that's fine if that's what you want, but you also won't get anywhere in life. And so all this is about getting the competitive advantage and you being the very best that you can be. Right, I hope that's useful for you. some good intake there into some of my psychology about, you know, how I used to be on the basketball court and how I still am in some aspects when it comes to business, and that kind of, what's that striving goal underneath? Why am I the way that I am? And it's this idea about being competitive wherever possible. All right, hope that's useful for you. My name's Dan Latter, and we'll catch up with you in the next podcast. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.